Well, I'm looking at Tasmanian Aboriginal history, in particular the questions to do with identity, and not just identity of Tasmanian Aboriginal people, but the way in which Tasmanian Aboriginal history has shaped white national Australian identity. Yes, well, there is a kind of understanding that Tasmanian Aboriginal history is the worst of Australia's colonial histories, the most bloody and most controversial frontier. And I question that, but I think it's been an important part of shaping Australia's white national identity because, in a sense, as Martin Flanagan says, white Australia has dumped its historical guilt in Tasmania, a very convenient place being an offshore island. I think historians have worked hard and perhaps successfully in breaking what W.E.H. Stanner coined as the Great Australian Silence. But I think the legacy of extinction has made Tasmania continue to be seen, perhaps most popularly, less amongst academics, as the worst of Australia's colonial past. And rather than challenge that, white Australia has continued, particularly in the late 20th century, to do some very loud, heart-thumping remorse, which has in many ways challenged and thwarted Tasmanian Aboriginal people's attempts to successfully tell people that they have not just survived, but have a thriving and very rich culture. Well, it's interesting, the word Black War was in fact a word that was used in contemporaneous Tasmania. It was called the Black War. And there was the Black Line, which was a line of several thousand white people, which walked as a pincer movement across the settled districts of Tasmania in 1831. I think there was a silence in Australia that during particularly the mid-20th century stopped talking about that past. That wasn't the case in the 19th century. And that silence was broken in the late 20th century. But often the way it's talked about, particularly in Tasmania, is a sense of nostalgia and regret, remorse and shame. Language which has a great deal to do with closing chapters, but not a great deal to do with remembering continuing culture and history. Yes, well, Ricky Maynard would be a really good example of contemporary Aboriginal art being expressed in Tasmania. The work of Julie Gough is also nationally and internationally known and exhibited. There's a lot of really good writing, popular writing, academic historical writing by Tasmanian Aboriginal people. And there's traditional crafts and arts that have never been forgotten, such as stringing necklaces from shells, mutton bird catching, plucking of the feathers and so forth. And I think in many ways this has been very well recognised across Australia. And I think nonetheless the idea that they are somehow not a real Aboriginal community makes it difficult for them, and they do continue to face very difficult and real issues, as do other Aboriginal communities in Australia, with housing, education and health. Well, I think we always think of it as odd and different and strange. Its landscape is seemingly unlike any other part of Australia, which isn't quite true. And it's a politicised and historicised landscape. It's the wilderness. And I think that makes it very, perhaps easy and convenient for Australians to look down to Tasmania as not really being part of us. And I'm not the first to say that. There's been some other good writers, Jim Davidson, who's on my panel as well, has written a good paper on that. And I think that's what I'm interested in, the way Tasmania is then used to shape our identity as a place that's not really like us, a place that is convenient to put the worst of our colonial past, not just Aboriginal history, but our convict past as well.